Because the bottom level is too high for the recording and it's
levels
too low.
Levels is good. Levels is good.
Okay.
Is that a dog whistle?
That was a fake dog whistle.
That means that you're a dog if you can hear it.
Oh, snap, son. Oh, shit. Ooh, big pun. Rest in peace. Sit down.
I think that was a compliment. I'm not sure.
Sit down. 5, 10, 20.
You need to stop playing around with all the clowns and the wanksters. Good girls gotta get down with the gangsters. Go ahead, girl, put some back and some neck up on it. While I stand up in the background and check up.
Hello! Welcome to episode 91 of the TryGames.net podcast. We have not had a rock band party yesterday, so we're not entirely exhausted. There will be no more Banana Phone this episode unless there are requests for it, in which case I'll take the episode down, re-edit it, and put Banana Phone back in, like, for 60 minutes straight, if you like.
Nice.
Banana Phone! Tony is studying for his job, and hence his life. So I, your host, Mr. Troupon / Austin, are here with the two other ladies. We have Alfred the Antipode Panty.
I've had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane.
1 hour, 27 minutes.
And at the end.
And at the end.
And modulated.
And modulated.
I've had it with these motherfucking snakes. Banana phone.
And we have William Basso Slunks. Hi.
Shirt Ripper.
Yes.
Shirt Ripper? Is that what you said?
Shirt Ripper.
Oh, shirt ripper.
Never mind. Only poor people would know. Sorry.
Oh, you thecty. You with the shirt ripper. And my volume is going down steadily as we speak. Stupid recording software. So, let's see. I need a three-sided coin to flip to see who's going first on what you've been playing. Slunks!
You know you want me to go first. But, hey,
Civilization
Slunks.
4.
4?
An ass load of it.
Ooh, nice.
Nothing but it. Like, over the week, basically, I have this friend. He's kind of racist, and
it's kind of racist.
Yeah, he just kind of is. And we were playing Army of Two, and he killed this Jamaican guy.
Oh
and
no!
He just kind of let one out, you know.
And I looked at him,
and I said, "Why don't we play something else?"
The N bomb.
Yes.
Nice.
Whoops.
Yeah, and I'm just kind of like, well, you know, I could kick your ass right now or throw you out of the house, but let's just play something else.
No Resident Evil 5 for you.
Right. And so I started a game of Civilization 4 because one of the multiplayer modes is Hot Seat, and that's when, like, everybody can just play on the same computer.
Right.
And it actually works really well. It might even work better than online just because if you guys aren't playing too serious, you can watch what you both are doing.
Right.
Whereas if you're playing online, when it's not your turn, you'll just be, you know, staring at your side and being like, well, waiting for my turn.
Yeah, it's kind of like Advance Wars.
Right.
When you wait for someone to go, it's like,
We started this game, I think it was last Sunday night or Monday, and we still haven't finished it yet.
Oh, shit.
And we've been playing, except for 2 day hiatus, we've been playing practically nonstop. And we're only in the 1900s, and there's 140 turns left in the game.
Jesus Christ. Oh, you can set, like, the turn cap or something?
Well, you can't mess with that, but you can mess with the game speed. There's 4 speeds. We're playing on normal right now.
Uh-huh.
There's quick, normal, long, and marathon.
Marathon. Basically
what that adjusts is when the game starts in 4000 BC, and at first, at the end of each turn, which is I go, he goes, and that's the end of a turn, the time will lapse 40 years. And eventually, once you start going on, like when you hit, I think it's around like 1000 BC, it'll start going down by 20 years. And then once you hit, like, I don't know, like 800 AD, it'll start going down by 10 years. And then eventually by 5 years, by 2 years, by 1 year, and then not even a year. That's how ridiculous it is. So that's kind of like a replication of real life in a way, because technology it's so crazy fast. This graphics card on my computer is going to be outdated in like 4 years, just as an example. But it's pretty cool. We just took out Elizabeth. Actually, he's dealing with the last of her. We had this kind of like mutual alliance until it's just us two. But I'm really good friends with Kublai Khan, which is the last guy left between us. And he's playing as America, and he has like half the entire continent to himself. And
those
it's just
damn
me and
Mongols.
Kublai Khan on the right side. Yeah, it's just me and Kublai on the right hand side. And I'm pretty sure I'm gonna betray my friend here and kick his ass because I've for like the last 20 turns I've had nothing to build, so I just built cannons, like those little dudes with the furry hats who just wheel around cannons and do nothing else. And I just have them all sitting on a city right next to one of his, so I'm pretty sure I'm just gonna wheel on over there in a few turns here eventually, and he's gonna go, "What the hell?" And I'm gonna buy out Kublai Khan to make him help me. And
what
it'll
the
be 2v1. And it'll be fun. And that game is fun. There's just so much to that game. It's ridiculous. And it's amazing. But yeah, that's practically all I've been playing. So yeah, I don't know. Ow.
Why are you playing?
Surprise.
Ow.
Well, I have a little bit of catch up to discuss here. since I wasn't on last week's podcast, I finished God of War. So I finished that and that was fun. And to discuss rotating blades, they were kind of fucked up, but I understand where you're coming from. I had a little bit of trouble here and there, then I forgot that you could jump.
Yeah.
And so I made that a lot easier by jumping. But Hades was designed to, well, it did what it was designed to be, to be a fucking nuisance. I mean, I don't think you'd go to the underworld and expect to get out really easy. So,
well, of course
not. Oh my God,
but
when am I gonna get out of here? When am I gonna get out of here? Oh my God! And then I finally get out. I'm like, oh my God, I got out.
Is that actually what Kratos is saying? And with a lisp.
With a lisp?
Lisp.
No, never mind.
Lisp.
Done.
Because
that's over our heads. Keep going.
Yeah. So, I finished that. Kratos. Come here, baby. Anyway, I was playing some Phantom Hourglass here and there, but I'm kind of slow with it right now because work is a bitch. And I was playing a little bit of Rock Band, you know, because of the Rock Band party and whatnot. And I started Final Fantasy 12.
Oh!
Yeah.
You tell us about Final Fantasy 12.
I'm almost 3 hours into it. It's pretty cool. I've been playing solo mostly with just one character, and I just got a second character, and then I just lost that second character, and I was like, "You bitch, you took my shit!" So I reloaded, I de-equipped everything from her, and then she left. I sold all her shit. I'm like, that fucking bitch. So,
okay, so wait. Let me get this down. 3 hours in, lose character, take away shit. Gotcha. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
Don't trust Kane with no shit.
Yeah, especially Kane. Kane, that motherfucker, take his shit. And then he want to fight you. Anyway, so
Kane,
the production quality
jump,
is... Mm-hmm.
Jump. Sorry, go ahead.
Fantastic. See, you got me all fucked up over here. The production qualities are excellent. You know, as usual from Square in this day and age.
Square Enix.
The graphics are fantastic. The gameplay is pretty freaking cool. Just run around and you're like, "Oh, I want to fight this guy." And then you go, you fight him. And then you run around and there may be an aggressive enemy and he may say, "Hey, I want to fight this guy." And then he'll fight you and you see his red beam come out of nowhere. You're like, "What the fuck?" And then,
you do the ejaculation.
And then I found an enemy. It was just a werewolf out in these plains areas. And I was like, "Oh, look, there's werewolves. I can fight with them." And then I attack, right? At first, I do steal because Vaughn, his default technique is steal. So I go to steal, and before I can steal, I die.
Yeah. If I remember right, in every RPG, for some crazy-ass reason, werewolves are really, really, really difficult.
Yeah, see, I thought I was avenging the kids because the kids had some trouble with the werewolves, but I forgot that I was a kid myself. So I went up to the werewolves and went, "Bow, KO, bow, KO." And they said, "Game over." And I was so happy that there was a save point right before I saw those werewolves.
Omega
so
Rabbit.
That. Omega Rabbit, yes. That's a Final Fantasy XI thing. And yes, there are lots of Omega Rabbits in that game. Anyhow, other than Final Fantasy XII, I played a little World of Warcraft 3. I haven't played any World of Warcraft because
wait, World of Warcraft 3?
No, Warcraft 3.
Oh, okay. I thought I heard you say World of Warcraft 3. I was like,
You mean you're actually playing a real Warcraft game?
Yeah, yeah. Because I was at work reading about some raid encounters, and then that led me to read about some stuff that happened in Warcraft 3. I'm like, you know, I still haven't really finished this game. So let me go and play it. And Single player. So I'm going to go through the single player story and wait till I get my new computer to start playing WoW again, because I don't even want to describe how denigrated my computer is becoming. It's just really, really starting to get annoying.
And you have the video card already, so all you got to do is get the rest of it, right?
Yeah, it's looking me in the face talking about, motherfucker, put me in the new shit.
Man, is it an FPS problem with WoW, or is it? It has to be something else, because there's no way that you have a computer that's older than my friend's.
Well, his CPU
His
fan died and his CPU overheated, so it's kind of on its last legs.
And on top of that, it's not the computer I originally had, because my original computer also overheated. So I had to take out that chip, which was an Athlon XP 2000, and switch it out for an Athlon XP 1400.
Water cooling.
Yeah, so my new computer is, yes, going to have water cooling.
But H2O or Gatorade in your water cooling?
Gatorade.
Okay.
Next thing you know, you get sodium deposits.
Shooting crisis through the roof.
Other than that, I didn't play any other games, but I did watch Snakes on a Plane today. For the first time.
Snakes on a Plane.
I've got to watch.
Yeah, man. That shit was hilarious. I mean, I have a whole list of things that I think I might just blog about it, but man. I just tell you four things that happened in this movie. A girl got bit in her titty. A lady got bit in her eye. Another lady went to look in a barf bag to throw up and got bit in the tongue.
And this other dude went
to, bit in the tongue. All right, on the tongue, goddammit. And this dude went to take a piss and he got his dick bit. And then proceeded to bang his head into the mirror over the sink, and then wipe the blood from the back of his head all over the wall.
What? A little over the top.
Snakes on crack. Yeah.
Those are the major snake kills.
Snake
in that
bites.
Movie. It was awesome. Yeah, and no black people died in that movie.
Oh, nice. I think I heard about the titty biting on Wikipedia because I was like, I'm not ever gonna see this, so I'm just gonna read about it.
Oh, man, that shit was hilarious. This girl got bit on the titty, like, on the nipple, the thing. It was just like, baby. It was hilarious.
Is that when her and the dude were in the Mile High Club in the bathroom?
Yeah, it was the very first one.
Jeez.
Snakes in porn!
All right, I'm sorry, I have to... Oh, yeah, there was another kill. This dude threw this girl's dog into a python. And Python ate it. And then she was all pissed at him. She was like, oh, you heartless bastard. He's like, it's just a dog. The same thing would happen to you. And then the Python proceeded to wrap himself around the guy that threw the dog and ate him. And then later on in the movie, Samuel L. Jackson shoots the window because of some shit that happened. They needed to get the snakes out of the cockpit. And all the shit is flying out of the window, right? And lo and behold, this python with the guy still attached to it flies out the window.
Wow.
Is the guy still halfway alive, or was he squozed it to
death? Oh, no, it was so quick. I mean, all you saw was his legs and the snake.
Oh.
Yeah. And as a grand finale, they had to land the plane. And this guy who was playing PSP on the plane.
He's like, yeah, I know how to land it because I played the Ace Combat on PSP.
No, it wasn't even that. It was like his dude. I think it was, I forget the guy's name, but he's on BET all the time. He offered.
Big Tigger?
No,
Hits from the Street.
Flex or something. No, wait, who's that?
You know, there used to be this guy, Hits, and his show was like Hits on the Street. And he's,
yeah, it's that guy.
Okay, it was Hits? Okay, yeah.
He's got his own show now on UPN or something. Well, not UPN, but like My9. He's got like a daughter and shit. Well, anyway.
That guy has a daughter? Uh-oh.
No. In the show,
I know. That guy has a daughter? Uh-oh.
Yeah. And he's supposed to be like a player. Anyway, he offers his friend to fly the plane because he plays all these goddamn flying video games.
Oh, jeez.
Right? And so he flies a game, and he goes, and they find out that it's all because of video games. And Samuel L. Jackson says, PlayStation or Xbox?
Oh, God.
And the guy's like, PlayStation 2, man. And he's like talking to him, blah, blah, blah. And then he actually lands a plane. And as he's like landing the plane, they were like, just not slowing down. He's like, hit the brakes, motherfucker. And the guy's like, oh, they ain't say that in the game. And he says some other shit that I didn't know. And then he's breaking the plane, but they're about to run into these barriers. And he goes, turn left. Turn this big motherfucker left. And so they turn the plane left, and they stop the plane. Everybody was safe. And Samuel Jackson goes, all praises to the PlayStation.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So that's all. All the other shit is pretty funny, but and it doesn't need to be discussed.
Maybe it wasn't hits because I'm looking up this guy's name is Al Shearer, and it doesn't show Snake, so it must be the other guy.
Wait, let me see.
Lewis Powell.
But what you been playing while I look?
Stuff. Let's move on. No. I finished Justice for All, Phoenix Wright, finally, so I moved right on to Trials and Tribulations, and just as I predicted, like, after halfway through the first chapter, I'm like, alright, I gotta stop right now. So I put that away, and then I picked it back up because I was playing Half-Life 2 to try to finish it, and the one blemish in that otherwise an amazing game is that the load times are god-awful, and within chapters, too, so I was like, alright, you know what, whenever Half-Life 2 has to load a level, I'm gonna open up my DS and play Phoenix Wright while I wait. And that... That proved to be pretty productive because those load times are like 60 seconds each, man.
Reminds me of this picture of Matt Rory of like playing two games at once while writing a strategy guide.
I also started, what's it called? I started Prey because I downloaded it off of Steam for $5 those many weekends ago. And it does this really shitty, annoying thing where if I play it for about 10 to 15 minutes, it'll start stuttering, and then it'll stall, and then it'll shut down Windows. It'll shut it down legitimately, and what I mean by that is it'll exit Prey, and then you'll see Windows say, okay, Windows is shutting down, as if you pressed the shutdown button yourself. So I'm like, okay, what is it doing that's making it shut down?
Yeah.
And I have no idea. So what I'm thinking is that maybe it's overheating my video card, which is complete shit. Because I played Crysis, the Crysis demo 2-3 weeks ago, and that was definitely overheating my video card because I kept on getting a message box saying, your video card's overheating, so we're going to throttle it down, and it didn't shut down my computer. It just throttled it down. That's all. You know, so I don't know what's going on with this one. But
yeah, supposedly there's a lot of problems with Prey. I know people with, you know, beyond amazing computers, and they're still having trouble running Prey, mostly with the whole... Oh, geez, what it is. Like the portal deal, like walking through those are supposedly looking through those are just terrible. What were you doing when it crashed and started
It's usually just during gameplay at any point in time between 10 and 15 minutes, it'll just go. Like it doesn't have to, I don't have to be doing something specific. Like the entire game runs at 60 frames a second for me. It looks gorgeous, but it's just like at some point, like no matter what you're doing, unless it's loading, if it's not, like, doing any processing. So it must be something with the graphics card. But whatever you're doing, it just goes, bleh, 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 exit.
Windows exit. Is shutting down. Goodbye.
So I don't know. What I'm going to do next is, like, I'll probably pop in Doom 3 to see if it happens with Doom 3. And then I'll pop in...
Yeah, don't they run on the same engine? Or
yeah, they're the same engine, that's why. So I'm thinking maybe it's that. Then I might pop in Oblivion to see if it's, like, a stress thing. And the last thing I might do is I had the Prey demo, and for some reason, I guess it's because Microsoft started this whole thing where, like, oh, the demo always has to be the first stage of the game and nothing else if you're going to put it on Xbox Live. So they did the same thing for the PC version. The demo is basically the first stage. And so the retail game is reading off of my quick saves from the demo. Well, it's not reading off of it. But like when I started the game, it said resume game, and I'm like, resume, I never owned this game before. And then when I clicked on resume, it showed all the saves from my previous demo. From the demo. So I'm like, okay, maybe something's fucked up there. So I don't know. Maybe I'll go there and check that out. But regardless, now I have to like keep on saving at every 10-minute interval and like exit the game and restart it. And I don't know if I want to go through that. But hey, $5. So what? Well, I'll fight about it. And the other thing I started playing was Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, kind of in preparation for this whole... Kind of in preparation for this whole GTA 4 thing. And I know I'm late to the party, and I know it came out in 2008.
Who gives a fuck, man? Old. I still haven't played Vice City.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Tommy Vercetti.
That's not what I'm saying. I know it's old, and I know it was made for PS2 hardware, and I'm playing it on a PC. But dear God, the graphics are some of the worst I've ever seen. In any game. Like, I don't understand. I honestly, and it has no bearing on the gameplay. The gameplay is fine. I'm just saying I honestly don't understand how people can sit there and say, wow, this is a pretty good-looking game. I mean, I don't care that the draw distance is pretty decent. It's just the models and all the assets are just so bad-looking. They look awful. It's like, it's almost, if it weren't for the fact that it was an open-world game, I'd say that it'd be inexcusable. Like, it just looks completely horrible. I've never seen any... Huh?
I think I was watching, like, a special on G4, not that I watch G4 often, so lay off. But, yeah, they looked pretty downright horrible. And that's probably a game that I couldn't go back to after playing, like, I don't know, Gears of War. Not that I'm a graphics hog or anything, but it's just,
sometimes,
like,
it makes you sick. Like, sometimes it makes your brain kind of go...
Yeah, like, jeez. I think it was, like, CJ's girlfriend, the back of her jersey. I couldn't even read the numbers off of it.
Oh, God.
So terrible. But, like, trust me, I'm going to feel pretty bad in, like, 2 months, because that's when I can finally afford Grand Theft Auto 4.
Mm.
So I'm going to be, I mean, it's not as long in comparison, but, yeah, I'm going to be, like, so late on GTA 4. Yeah. I'll be like, wow, this game's awesome. And they're like, yeah.
Well, you're not going to be late.
Alan and I are going to be 2 years late.
Yeah.
Once if that game hits $19.99, I think I'll get it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But, like, yeah, I mean, this is no bearing on the gameplay itself. I mean, I can't say that I can't say whether I like or dislike the open world yet, simply because I've just been following the missions. Mm-hmm. But, like... It seems it's like, because I'm in the beginning, I'm not going to pass judgment on like whether or not the gameplay is good, but I think so far I have no problem with it. It's pretty funny, like a lot of people complained about, not a lot of people, but like some of my friends complained about the first mission in San Andreas, which is basically get on the fucking bike and get away from the drive-by shooters.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, I'm on a stupid bike. This is really stupid. You know, whatever. You know, I'm getting away. And it actually got me kind of excited because, like, these guys were coming after me. And, I had to make them crash into telephone poles and shit. And that was pretty fun. But, yeah, I mean, it was just jarring. And the other part of it is, you know, I realize that it's because it's a PS2 game ported up for the PC. So it's obviously not going to look... as good as what you'd want to see on a PC, but, you know, and I understand that, and I don't hold it against it, but, like, it doesn't change the assessment that, wow, these are some, like, horrible models. These are some really... It's, like, it's unbelievable how bad they are. Like, I can't understand it because I've seen them running on PS2, and it doesn't look that bad, and I guess this is just what happens when you don't up-res your assets for a PC port. And they look so shitty. It's kind of embarrassing. And it's funny because, you know, I play Max Payne 2 and Max Payne 1 and stuff. And, you know, games like those games look like... I in fact, booted up Max Payne the first one yesterday just as a stress test to see how it looked. And, you know, I upsampled everything. It still looks really good. I mean, okay, you know, Max's neck itself looks like a piece of shit, like when he turns.
So
and, but it
PC
looks... It still looks,
like,
good.
Looks so, yeah. Great. I kind of found it funny that GTA 4 actually has an achievement that says warm coffee.
What's the achievement for?
I think going out on a date or something with one of the girls. It has to do with, like, a relationship or something like that. So,
yay. Oh, man.
So, yay, we're the podcast with GTA 4 week, and none of us has GTA 4 nor played it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a lot of GTA 4 news.
We can read all about it in the news. And let's move on to that news. Yay, I'm such a segue art. Yeah,
banana phone.
Banana phone. We are here at the news. Let's see. There's a lot of GTA 4 news, as we alluded to before. Let's see. First topic at hand. UPS employee stealing a game about stealing, which is, yay, you know, Grand Theft Auto. Let's see. This is from Ars Technica's Opposable Thumbs blog, which is the video game blog of that tech site, by Ben Cuchera. Grand Theft UPS copies of GTA stolen en route to retailers. After reporting on the hype and controversy surrounding the Tuesday release of Grand Theft Auto 4, I can't believe I'm going to write a "This Game Causes Crime" story, but here we go. I spoke to an employee of UPS over the weekend, and he told me that a surprising amount of workers were getting busted stealing the game from shipment boxes. In one 24-hour period, three workers were fired, and more interviews were scheduled for today that would likely end in termination. I asked if this was common when big-name games were released, and he told me, no. The situation was novel, or he wouldn't have brought it up at all. The game was enticing enough for many workers to risk losing their job, and in typical fashion for low-level crimes like this, it has been easy to identify the workers stealing the games. Quote, when we have a big-name release, we communicate it to operations and security teams. We have security in place at the facilities, and we make sure they understand to keep an eye out for things to exit the building, he explained. How did they find where the games were stolen? Quote, we had tips from people inside, and some of them were discovered at intermediate hubs. It's easy to spot. Flaps torn, some boxes are retaped. In most cases, the bust is as easy as finding the last person who scanned the box as full and interviewing them.
They're not,
they're not selling them. These people are just stealing one copy, end quote, he told me. All of the thefts seem to be for personal use. It seems many people think stealing a game a few days before release is worth it, and this is far from the perfect crime. Quote, as long as the people loading the packages are doing their jobs, it's easy to track down. It's kind of funny, isn't it? It's a game about theft, and people are stealing it. And I get to terminate them.
Terminate.
So I'm not going to out anybody when I ask you this, Slunks, but this is more of a rhetorical question. How many co-workers of yours do you think kind of sneak in the back with inventory and just be like, bloop, oh no, Capcom didn't send us this copy of Okami for Wii. We're missing one.
At my work?
I'm just making fun of you, but you can answer if you want.
Yeah, no, nobody.
Yeah, zero. I mean, like, you know, people like blog about how like they would just like take a game and
right, it's
and
like, it was
like,
in there. Probably more so like at like in an as an alternative to UPS, like people who work at Walmart or
right,
or, like,
right,
Best Buy or something like that.
There was this one guy that I read about on CheapAssGamer.com that was that had this kind of semi elaborate but ultimately fallible scheme in place to kind of siphon games out of the inventory and then ship them off and sell them. I can't remember. He was voted like villain of the year, but on that site. But it was like amazing how he just kind of like was doing this for weeks and weeks and weeks, and was selling all these games and getting money, and then like finally he bragged about it and got caught.
Right.
You don't brag about that shit.
Yeah, it's like bragging about evading taxes. You're gonna get caught.
Wesley Snipes, no. Poor Wesley.
Cabby.
What'd you say?
Cabby.
Okay.
From Howard Stern.
Any other remarks on this? Shall we move on to the stabbing and the mugging?
Let's move on to the stabbings and the mugging.
Well, actually, I want to say that Ben Couture could probably be a name for a porn star. That's about it.
Coochie. Ben Coochie. Let's see. Coochie. This one is from GameSpot. Brendan Sinclair, the voice of Canada, on the GameSpot news team. Midnight Grand. So this is the second crime associated with.
And this is a surprising one.
Yeah, Midnight Grand Theft Auto 4 sales see stabbing and mugging. Police say one man apparently waiting in line attacked a passerby, while a teenager elsewhere was beaten up for his copy of the game. Wow, that's rotten. Let's see what it says. Midnight launches aren't always the gaming industry's proudest moments. The PlayStation 3 in particular was riddled with launch-related crimes, including a mugging, a store robbery, a launch line holdup, and a shooting. Grand Theft Auto 4 went on sale in stores around the world at 12:01 a.m. this morning, and already reports of criminal midnight launch madness are starting to filter in. BBC News is reporting on a pair of incidents with news of a stabbing outside a game station in Croydon and a mugging by another game store in Lancashire. I can't pronounce it, sorry. According to the news service, a 23-year-old man was attacked by a knife-wielding assailant as he passed the line outside the game station. The victim was treated for several stab wounds, has since been released. The attacker, who police said appeared to be waiting in line of about 50 to 100 people, was not apprehended. In the mugging, an 18-year-old was robbed of his copy of the game and beaten as he walked home from the store with a friend. The victim was taken to the hospital with a broken jaw and a broken nose. Mm-hmm. Police are asking for a witness in both cases to step forward. Yeah, launch line etiquette and safety tips. Don't go to one.
Yeah. That's lame.
Especially at midnight, I'm just like,
I wasn't there for the midnight launch. Supposedly, ours was really cool. While we were waiting, or I wasn't there, but while they were waiting, they had, like, little Nerf dart guns or something, and they would shoot, like, games that were kind of trying to be, like, Grand Theft Auto, like Saints Row and all that, and they would do it from a distance and competitions and give away apple pies, I believe it was. Like actual apple pies, not apple pie slices. We would give you
a whole pie.
I think it was like an apple cinnamon pie or something that you like.
Entenmann's racist. Yes.
Making me hungry.
And we're just like, here, take this. Congratulations, you won.
That's pretty
and
funny.
Here's your
is there
pie
a pie? Is there a game in the pie?
No.
Is there a file in the pie?
But I also want to say that the word assailant kind of sounds like a Navy position.
Assailant.
So, anyway.
I've always been leery of, like, midnight launches. It's funny because when we went to cover the Wii launch in Times Square in Toys R Us, when Ethan and Tony got their Wiis, I was kind of, like, always looking behind us to make sure that nobody was coming up behind them to steal their Wiis.
Right.
Because they came in these big fucking Nintendo World store bags that said, like, Nintendo DS Wii on them, and I'm just kind of like,
You just got a Wii. Rob me.
Exactly.
It says rob me around the bag.
I'm just kind of like, And I think the only real lines I've waited on were the Wii line because we were getting it the next day because we reserved it. And the game, there was a small GameCube line outside an electronics boutique.
Oh yeah, GameCube line
in the Manhattan Mall, which is right across from the GameStop that I'm gonna call out later. And Al and I were waiting on there, and it was like a line of about 15, 20 people. It was indoors in the mall. It was in the morning. So it wasn't like a midnight launch where people would be, like, following you around and shit.
Right.
So, and I don't think I've ever waited online for another type of launch, so I've never experienced anything like that. Much less over a game as opposed to a console.
Yeah.
So it is crazy, though, that the GameStop that I went to that I'm about to talk about in the main topic, I was standing behind some big, sweaty dude who looked like he had just rushed there, like, from Mars or something. And when he finally got to his place, to the cash register, the guy told him that he was short 50 cents. And he was like, oh, man. And he turned around and was like, is anybody spare 50 cents? I just took a cab up here from Union Square because Union Square told me that they didn't have Grand Theft Auto. And, you know, I had to take a cab up here to get it and to make sure. And I'm just like, I had 50 cents, so I gave it to him. But in the back of my head, I'm just like, you know, there's always next week. I mean, seriously.
But it's only 50 cents.
Huh?
Yeah.
It's only 50 cents.
Yeah, but, like, he spent, like, what, like, $15 on a cab ride or something?
That's true.
It's, like, that's such a waste, you know?
Right.
But to some people, that kind of shit is important. And I can relate to that. I know where his feelings are. Not the 50 cent thing, but the I gotta get there to get my thing. But 50 cents, damn,
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. If he was so adamant about getting this game, why didn't he reserve it?
That's true.
So it's like you know what? If you didn't reserve it, come back next week. Leave my 50 cents to me.
Well, I
want my 50
that.
Cents back, goddammit.
That's in there, the news, I think. But let me see if it is. The whole pre-order controversy crap.
Right. Yeah. Pre-order means nothing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually the next topic. Hey, you want to read this one out, or do you want
to
talk about the other one first?
Because I want to talk about something that we were talking about already.
All right then, talk about it, Dread Boy. Oh, by the way, what was the name of the actor?
the name of the actor. Flex Alexander.
Flex Alexander. I have no idea who the fuck you are, and I don't care. Go ahead, Al.
All right, so that according to GamesRadar.com, the GTA stabbing had nothing to do with GTA. Ew.
Wow. Probably not surprising. What was the episode where a guy could probably have his DS in his backpack and they blame him on video games?
Oh, the one right after I interviewed the Ninja Gaiden guy.
Right.
And they were like, oh, he had a Ninja Gaiden in his bag, so he must have been bad because of Ninja. Hold on, not his guy. No.
So, from this article, words Ben Richardson, Games Radar, UK, the so-called GTA stabbing reported to have taken place outside a GameStation store in Croydon, East London,
had
absolutely nothing to do with Grand Theft Auto, a GameStation source has confirmed to Games Radar. Our source revealed that the account of a witness appeared to contradict the knee-jerk news published yesterday, which claimed the man stabbed was a member of the queue waiting for the store's midnight launch of Grand Theft Auto 4. The victim had categorically not pre-ordered the game, our source told us, and GameStation is confident that he was not a GameStation customer. Neither was he a part of the queue outside the Croydon store. Our source suggests that the incident was triggered by a number of beer-addled pub-goers who poured out onto the street opposite the store where punters were queuing. Punters? The crowd of drinkers were hurling lighthearted jibes at the gamers when drinkers leaving a nearby pub also joined in with the shouting. Our source believes that the police will find the stabbing resulted from a member of the pub crowd or someone walking past the GameStation queue, assuming insults were directed at them.
So this was weird. This was gangsta-dumb.
Yeah. Yesterday, many news websites ran stories claiming that a man was stabbed repeatedly in a queue of fans waiting to buy Grand Theft Auto.
What the fuck?
That so sounds like a jailhouse thing or something from, like, Dave Chappelle.
pass the shank, son.
And the incident is covered again in this morning's Metro newspaper under the headline, GTA Violence Kicks Off. In queue for the game.
Oh.
You know, at our GameStop, we didn't have that much trouble at all. We did have this one guy walk in. We probably had like two or three incidents of just guys being angry about not being able to get Grand Theft Auto. Because, they didn't pre-order it. But basically, the guy that I had to deal with, I didn't necessarily deal with them, but I was just working that morning. I was working Tuesday morning. And he came in, and he was like, you know, I'd like to get Grand Theft Auto 4, and he walked up with the copy, and he didn't have his ID on him, and we're partying everybody. You know, it's GTA 4, and yeah, like, arguably, he did look probably about 22, 23, but that's beside the point, unless you're a kid with his mom, or like some kind of parental supervision, we're not going to give you, you know, a copy without ID.
Right.
So we said, you know, sorry that you don't have a D, but we can't sell it to you. And so he looked to his friend. He was like, all right, whatever, I'll just have my friend buy it for me. And that's also something that we do prevent, is that, you know, we don't allow somebody right next to the, you know, unless it's a parental, you know, person, then we're not going to sell it to that kid.
Right.
So that he can just give it to the guy who's trying to get in the first place. So it's basically whoever walks up, that's who the customer is. If they say, oh, well, this guy over here will buy it for me, no, we're not going to.
He should have just kind of like gone to the back of the store and be like,
Right. Like if they would have done that, then, yeah, I mean, sure, whatever, then they got away with it. No big deal. But that it basically led to him, his friends pushing him out the door, while he's shouting, geez, what was it? I'm a grown ass adult, nigga. At my manager and at my main boss, actually. And it was kind of funny because my main boss, Jeff, he's kind of a little scrawny of a guy, and probably when that guy was 20 feet down the hall, We work in a mall, by the way. Right. I mean, it was 20 feet down the hall. Like, my manager, my boss mates, makes this amazing comeback of, at least I don't have a small penis. Like, while he's down, like, he's not even in earshot anymore.
He's probably like, he's like, probably, yo, William, is he gone? Is he gone? He's gone?
Yeah.
Okay. At least I don't have a small penis. So
but then he went down to the other GameStop, and so we called. We have two GameStops in the mall.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and we called the other one, and we were like, well, this guy in a red shirt, he's a grown-ass adult, and he's trying to get the game. Don't sell it to him. And so they didn't. and
he left the
what wound up happening was probably about 5-10 minutes later, he walks by the store again with an FYE bag with GTA 4 in it, and he goes, got it anyway, bitches! And then after that he's basically the reason why we now have cardboard signs up that say, no ID, no GTA 4. Okay, thanks, okay, bye.
Okay, thanks, okay, bye.
Yes, I wrote those signs, by the way. But yeah, that's
he probably thinks FYE stands for fuck you anyway.
Right.
Even though anyway is not spelled that
anyway.
Way. I'm a grown-ass adult, son. Fuck you anyway, with a capital E. What? Word.
I got it.
What was it, Thursday when I worked, all of a sudden we get the phone rings, and there's this dude coming up, supposedly wearing a Punisher shirt. He's going to be trying to get the game. Don't sell it to him. So when he came up, we just said, yeah, sorry, we're all out of copies, despite we had plenty.
That's funny.
And then he wound up going back to the store, to the other one, and was just sitting there complaining, and never stopped. And eventually, the one that he's not a new DM or like the main boss over there, but he practically made one of our employees sell the game to him, despite he had no ID.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was like everybody was so pissed at that guy. Like,
way to hold up
the rules there, jackass. Basically.
Right, because now you're gonna have to do it for every. Now he's probably gonna try to make you do it for every. Oh, we don't want people complaining anymore.
Right,
he's making you do something that you could get fired for.
Basically, right? he's down the hall. He's not related with our store in general.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it was pretty damn lame that's what it went down to. It should have been, no, we're not selling you the game. Period. It's not. Oh well, if you're gonna be an American enough. And you're going to complain your ass off. We're going to give it to you. You know.
Mall security, please come to the GameStop.
But yeah, everybody's pissed at him. Yeah. It's not like we're happy about
right.
that.
Right. Mall security, we're... GameStop number 2. Get a motherfucker over here.
Yes, and then like the 47-year-old mall cop comes.
With his donut belly.
Yes, and his baton.
Hey, now.
Actually, I'm pretty sure they don't even get batons, but anyway.
They get penises! Yeah. But Al says that there is one more line in the article, LOL.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. This, according to our source, which was the GTA violence kicks off in queue for the game, is most certainly not the case. In fact, according to our source, it seems that the stabbing incident itself did not even take place near the Game Station store, as reported by many news outlets, but nearly a quarter of a mile away in the area of East Croydon Station.
You fucking wanker.
Yeah.
So it was probably like... one news site who practically just fiddled around with the facts, and then every other news site went, oh, that's what happened, and just kind of copy and pasted.
Like the Ari Spears arrest.
Yeah. I want to take note to the latest articles about this game on GamesRadar.com. one is just GTA co-creator and fuck all the stuff about casual gaming, which we're not going to talk about today. CNN goes mental over GTA 4. In quotes, we're training our kids to be killers.
Says Barack.
Barack Obama says,
video games are raising
Obama
our kids.
Obama talks GTA 4. Presidential hopeful talks about game in a moment. Then there's another one about 360 wins day one GTA 4 battle. And then there's GTA 4 thief has real-life police pursuit. Police cars and helicopter pursue man after game store robbery.
First cop who gets him gets the game.
You know.
let's see.
Put over.
I'm gonna read him his rights. You know what's really
what
funny?
What is this?
Like, Chris is my friend Chris. Is like a huge Grand Theft Auto fan, and he's a cop. It's like,
Yeah. On top of like the whole GTA 4 story deal I just told, whoever I was working with at the time, one of my other managers, she was kind of going through like all the crazy stuff that's happened, and there was a big problem with some dude going crazy about something, and the actual cop went to the wrong store, but he walked in and he went, "Is there a problem here?" And they were like, no, we don't. What are you doing here? and then the cop went, "Do you have any weeds?"
"Any what? Oh, weeds."
"Yeah, do you have any weeds?"
"Is there a problem in here?" "No, sir." "Oh.
Got any weeds?"
"No? Okay."
And that was about it. But yeah, I just wanted to throw that in there.
Well, maybe you can shed some light on this one, eh? This is from Kotaku. This is by Michael McWhirtor, apostrophe extraordinaire. The headline is, "Your GameStop reservation for GTA 4 may be meaningless." We really hope that if you were one of the bazillions who threw down a tenner on a reserve copy of Grand Theft Auto 4 at your local GameStop or EB Games, that you've already acquired your prize. If not, we wish you good luck and Godspeed. An employee writes to us today about what he calls, quote, "some disturbing marching orders from corporate," end quote, that basically say that your pre-order doesn't guarantee your copy won't be sold to the next walk-in customer. In fact, quote, "we are being told to specifically disregard our reservation customers who have paid a deposit on this game in exchange for a guarantee of availability for walk-in customers," end quote. As you read, remember, this is business, it's nothing personal. The alleged, quote, "marching orders" are after this. And then he has a whole, what's it called? A whole little,
the email
to the sellers. Let's read this. "GTA walk-in calls. Attention district managers. As you are aware, Grand Theft Auto 4 is going to be a huge seller for all retailers. We expect that this is going to be advertised in all the major Sunday circulars, and this is going to bring an influx of new customers to all stores. Hosting midnight events gives us a huge advantage over our competitors only if we commit to taking care of these new customers during this launch. In order to reward you and your stores for committing to selling to walk-in customers, we will be providing a walk-in goal for each store and DM on the regular editions only for GTA 4. I'm assuming DM means district manager.
Yes.
Okay.
Your walk-in master.
Your walk-in goals are calculated by multiplying your anticipated reservations by your historic reservation pickup percentage on like titles. This amount is subtracted from your launch allocation to yield math. See below for the walk-in goals that have been set for your market. The number one district manager in each region in actual walk-in sales versus goal will receive a $500 cash prize. The number one store in each region in walk-in sales versus goal will be rewarded with a free copy of GTA 4 regular edition for every associate on that store team. Happy selling!
Happy selling!
Now, are you familiar with this?
Yes. I could basically spill the beans on this.
If it is going to get you in trouble, do not.
Pick the beans up.
No.
It is not going to get you in trouble.
No, I doubt it.
No.
Okay. If you feel comfortable, then spill the beans.
I'm just making sure in my head. I'm pretty sure... I didn't sign anything that says I can't talk about this. There were times where we have like 40 copies of the 360 version, and we were negative in like the ratio of how many pre-ordered and how many we have.
Like 800 pre-orders, 40 copies.
It's not so much how many copies we as a store has, it's how many... like in the district.
Okay, so they get divided in unproportionally.
Right. Chances are, if we have 40 copies and 40 of those are pre-ordered, and a guy walks in and he says, "I want to buy," we're going to sell it to him, and we're going to go negative one, and then we're going to do it for the next customer until all the way down to like, not till we're low, but until we need more. Okay. And it's not like we need to call out and we're like, "Oh shit, dog, we're real low. We need more." And suddenly they're like, "Oh, we don't have any more," and then we're screwed. It's that we always know how many are in the district, so it's not like It's not like you're going to be out of a copy.
They will probably, like, truck over a copy or something from the other store?
Right, exactly. And considering we have a GameStop in the same mall, it's no big deal for us to go negative for a little while. I think, like, the highest we went negative was, like, negative 10 in copies. And we still had, like, 30 on the shelf. And then,
well, that's not bad.
But yeah, I mean, it's just kind of something that needs to happen, even though it's not quite 100% right. I mean, you pre-ordered a game and it should be yours. But that, in the same like way, it doesn't mean that copy on that shelf is yours.
Right.
Of course.
Right. It's just, it's something that we as a store need to do. I mean, we're not going to reject a sale. I mean, I think there was probably about 10 to 20 pre-orders that went stale because nobody came in and picked them up. That was 10 or if we followed the rule of, you know, we don't sell any copies if we're going to go in a negative, that would have been 10 or 20 customers that we lost out on, which is a lot. So that's not, like,
but you know what,
60 times 10 or 20.
I have to go on the end, as long as I have to go on the end of the consumer.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend who he hates GameStop. He swore off GameStop because he went to the store one day when something came out. I forget what it was, but it was a big game. He went to the store and said, "Hey, I want to buy this game." And then they said, "Do you have a pre-order?" And he says, "No." And then he goes, "Well, you don't have to kiss the ring and get the fuck out."
What?
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, they did. They didn't sell him the game because he didn't have a pre-order.
And, oh, but he didn't say that. He didn't say you have to kiss the ring and get the fuck out.
Okay,
no,
yeah,
that
yeah.
was his
okay,
interpretation.
Yeah.
That was his interpretation of what they said. What they basically said was,
okay,
sorry, we can only sell the pre-orders. You're going to have to, you know, buy
right.
somewhere.
That's a call by whoever's managing at the time. And that's, I mean, we would do the same thing. That's based on how much inventory they have.
Especially if you guys knew that the traffic to your store was full of people who did honor their pre-orders and pick them up on time.
Right.
Then you probably say, well, they're probably going to pick it up, so I shouldn't do this.
If we only have 10 copies left and we have 30 pre-orders, that's
you're definitely
going to
stop it there.
That's where we're going to stop for a little while and then wait for the next stock to come in.
Mm-hmm.
So,
see, from his point of view, it's like, motherfuckers, if y'all want my money, y'all should sell me the goddamn game. Because, you know, there's so many stores that have this product now, and if you are the store that I choose to go to, you should sell it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, I understand. But, you know, with that being said, you should just take your ass to Best Buy.
Right. Well, I mean,
and that's what he
does
now.
That could have been done. He could have, either pre-ordered the game. Or, I mean, it's kind of like a call for the manager. It's either do you respect the person who might come in and pick up his pre-order, or do you respect the walk-in customer? And I think it should always lean towards the pre-order.
Right.
Especially when you're that low. I mean, I totally understand where he's coming from. So, yeah.
But I honestly think that they should just order some extra goddamn motherfucking copies.
Yeah.
Right.
Just at least, you know, at least 5%.
I mean, it could be a situation maybe they don't have another GameStop or something near them. Maybe it was the GameStop, like, in the middle of nowhere, and the only way to get more copies is to wait for a shipment to come over, which is, like, 2 hours long. And they were very low in copies, and they just couldn't sell. Like, maybe they had one copy left or something, and they just couldn't sell that because it was pre-ordered.
It could be. It very much could be.
So.
But when you... He also mentioned, I think, either that he was just really embellishing, but he said something about copies on the shelf. I don't know if that was the same situation or not, but he said, you know, if you got motherfucking copies on the shelf, and you're telling me that you can't sell me one...
When it's a new game, the way that whatever's on the shelf, that's basically our last copy. If you have to bring in that copy...
No, I don't mean the shelf outside. I mean the
cabinet behind the register.
Yeah. I mean, that's where we keep all the new games at, so...
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, they had copies, but they were probably all pre-ordered, I'm imagining.
Yeah, they probably were.
What I can imagine in his head, he was thinking... I want to buy the game. I see it right there. Why can't you give it to me?
Exactly.
Right. But in real terms, it was, you know, those copies are pre-ordered and they were probably pretty low on the stash. So.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it sucks for your friend, but And that's just kind of like how it went down, I guess. I don't know.
I know. I don't want no explanation. I know how I work.
All
I got
around.
Friends up in GameStop. I got friends up in them shits.
You know, I like... on the one hand, I feel like, you know, when you make a reservation, mm-hmm. like in any business, no matter what you're talking about, it should be honored if you put down money for that reservation.
Right.
On the other hand,
yeah.
I think it's been pretty clear for anybody who shops at GameStop or any other thing that if you don't honor your reservation within a certain allotted time, you don't get that reservation anymore. If you don't fucking show up to the steakhouse at 9 o'clock for your 9 o'clock reservation, and you show up at 9:45 and someone gave away your table, that's your fucking loss, dude.
Is it out?
That's
back?
Right.
Oh, I don't know. It has a blooming onion, though. No.
No, we need. Okay.
But you know what I'm saying? It's like. On the one hand, I'm like, for me,
we cancel our reservations after 48 hours.
Right. And 48 hours, I think, is a pretty good grace period. You know that, and they've always made that clear. Now, mm-hmm. my question for this article in particular, though, is it the 48 hours? Because it seems like they're saying, okay, for the midnight launch, fuck the pre-orders. That's what it sounds like it's saying, and that's kind of, to me personally, that doesn't jive with me too much. Like, but I don't know if that's what the case is.
Yeah, the actual word from whoever sent this email to the DMs is probably a dickhead. And I mean, I don't know what's up. It's just kind of like the tone of it.
Right.
It's really off. But yeah, it's just probably just this one guy who's sitting in an office sending out emails to his DMs, just not realizing what he's writing down because this is strictly to the DMs. I mean, there's probably some funky business all the time that happens behind the scenes that not even I know about.
Right.
So, you know, it's probably that secret code language that they talk all the time.
the business ease.
Yeah, the business.
Yeah. I just think the bottom line is it's like with a store that thrives on pre-orders and that, you know, really pushes this, you know, they'll end up getting the customer who says, well, why are you pushing this pre-order on me so hard if you're not going to honor it, especially for a product like this that mm-hmm. people are going to want? So that's why I kind of that's why this instant kind of bugs me. But, like, on the other hand, the general case of if you don't pick your shit up in 24 to 48 hours, it's your own fault.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
get it next week.
Yeah, get it next week. Stop taking cabs.
I pre-ordered this Grand Theft Auto 4 game.
Stop taking cabs.
I need 50 cents.
50 cents. Jeez. Let's.
You wanted to talk about the issue you had the other day?
Oh yeah. Well, we're gonna save that for later.
Okay.
We still got some more GTA 4 topics.
Stay
Jesus
tuned.
Christ, this is huge. Forums aflame for GTA 4 freezing. PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 players alike are reporting crash problems with Rockstar Games' latest. Sony reports an extremely low volume of complaints, promises it is working on a solution. Let's see if there's any... Okay, so if anybody's having crash problems with Grand Theft Auto 4, please let us know. Please, you know, detail what they are, what's going on with them. Do you have Lucky Charms to help make the weight better, or what the fuck is going on?
Magic.
Off topic, I have a Kit Kat in my room. It's really hot in here. It'll probably be melted by the end of this podcast. Anyway.
So, have you talked to anybody who has crashed yet?
I've heard a few times. I think James's copy is froze once while loading. But supposedly, all the reports that I've heard on it, it's like one or two crashes so far. It's not like my game's crashing or freezing 20,000 times while I'm trying to do this mission, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's only every now and then, supposedly.
Like Prey!
Right. And actually, tips out to 8-Bit Warrior on GameSpot. His Xbox 360 actually just red-ringed, and he has like a 30-hour saved. On Grand Theft Auto 4. So that kind of thing. It's like, hey, I'm gonna beat it.
Well, you know, I heard that, you know, my friend from like real far away, he said that his Grand Theft Auto freezes every time Nico says, "This is the American Dream."
Is this a friend of a friend of a friend who knows a friend and a roommate of a friend?
Yes. That
okay.
And his cousin.
Right. First Bully and now this shit. What the hell is going on? First of all, what the hell is going on with Rockstar and crashing games? Second of all, this is the one reason. This is one reason why like the fact that we have hard drives in our consoles, which I really want for Wii. At the same time, I'm like, you know, this is the one thing that I would kind of step back and say, hey, okay, well, this is making developers lazy. Stop building games that crash, please.
Don't release games as beta.
I swear to God, I hate that.
G.I. Joe.
It's down to just sloppy. Oh, no, I'm not going to say sloppy developing, coding, blah, blah, blah. It's just not fine-tuning, I guess I could say.
QA.
It's not fine-tuning your code or whatever the hell's going on behind the scenes.
Optimized.
Right, like, I don't know. They probably look at it and they play it for a while and they say, you know, oh, this is good. But if it freezes,
they need Al on their testing team.
As a tester, if the game freezes, you can report the freeze, and sure they can look over the coding, but it might, you know, in the back of their mind they might be like, oh, maybe it was just a 360 that was a problem or something.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't look over it as much as they should.
There could have also been publisher pressure to get the thing out on time because it's been delayed so much. I don't know. I will wait for a game to not crash, basically.
I was reading some stuff on what it was crashing on and stuff like that. And apparently it was like crashing on some 60 gigs and like I guess some of the older PlayStations.
Oh, yeah, that's actually the next article. Let's actually jump onto that one. It's from Kotaku again. Brian Crescente says, Rockstar support says no GTA freeze fix in sight.
Yeah.
So let's see the part you were reading, the 60 gig. Okay, let's see. The man told me that the problem is apparently only affecting 60 gigabyte versions of the PS3, but it didn't matter that my particular console was a launch console. The problem is not across the board for PS3 60 gigs. It only impacts some. So the tech folks are working around the clock to try and figure out what exactly is causing the issue. The 360 version is having the exact same problem. Let's see. I asked him if wiping the hard drive and reinstalling the PS3 version would help, as seen on the PS forums.
No.
He said, try it, but I haven't heard of it helping a single person.
No. It is on the disc.
It's a disc,
without
okay.
A
apparently without there's a fix suggested by Take-Two. Delete the game's install data, delete the game's save files, disable your internet connectivity for the
PS3.
That's
exactly what I want to do, is delete my save files. So
destroy all your progress and start from scratch.
It's a 12-step plan. Hold on. Disable your internet connectivity for PS3.
Rub your stomach and tap your head.
Disable the console's information board. Disable media server functionality. Delete all of the system's internet cache. Turn off the PS3 screensaver. Once this has been done, manually restart your PS3 by holding down the power button for 5 seconds. It will beep once, then shut down. Release the power button and repress it and hold it for about 5 seconds. The system will then boot and reset all display settings. You'll be prompted to reset your display settings and how you require them. Once restarted, please try the game again. You'll be prompted to reinstall. Half hour later, once the game has started, please turn off the following features. Turn off the autosave. Turn off the game's flicker filter. Turn off controller vibration.
Shit.
If that doesn't solve the problem, Take-Two allows tech support users to reopen their cases within 7 days.
And then go out and buy a wacky, wild, and flippable, arm flailing tube, man!
Here's my one-step plan. Get your shit right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't buy the game!
Oh, my God. Wow.
Yeah, people are getting lazy, like, oh, we can give you a patch later. Don't worry. That's... thanks, Internet. But let's see. He ended the call by saying they really have no idea when a fix will be coming because they can't figure out what is exactly causing the problem, and then once more apologized. Wow.
We only have our dev kits here.
For all we know, it just might be a problem with something in the code that they can't find, or it just might be a 360, like a general, everybody who owns a 360 or a PS3, it just might be a problem with the hardware. Maybe not your specific hardware, but just in general, like every PS3 and 360 out there, maybe just something's not clicking right when something happens. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's either in the data or it's either a console problem. So.
All right, we have some other news here, but we're gonna keep on with the Grand Theft Auto stuff and then go back to this news. So, here's another one from Kotaku. IGN quote crossed the line end quote with Grand Theft Auto 4 hooker shooting clip.
Man, this
Michael McWhorter.
Did you see the video?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
A clip recently posted to IGN titled, quote, Ladies of Liberty City, Very Bad Things, end quote, featured a montage of some of Grand Theft Auto 4's more lewd and violent behavior. A portion of that clip, perhaps the most objectionable portion, can still be seen at Gawker with the rehosted full rip over at Boinkology, and that's spelled BOINKOLOGY.com.
Boinkology.
NSFW.
And what?
That's the NSFW.
NSFW.
Okay. It can't be seen at IGN anymore, as the Fox-owned entertainment site tells MTV Multiplayer, quote, "In this case, we crossed the line in how we portrayed some aspects of the game, and we've taken this video down," end quote. The full version of, quote, "Liberty Lady, the Liberty City," end quote, features GTA 4's Nico Bellic, or Bellic, whatever, visiting one of the game's strip clubs, the Triangle, and receiving numerous private dances. He also visits two prostitutes, one of which an IGN employee runs down with a car, one of which he or she guns down. Classy stuff. These portions of the game play a microscopic role in the Grand Theft Auto 4 experience, but a strong tip of the clip highlighting all of this nefarious behavior was somehow deemed worthy of splicing together for the IGN readership. It may be in poor taste to some, but we think it's perfect fodder for the basis of a news report from IGN's parent company. Then everyone wins. By the way, that's Fox. More details on the situation, be sure to check out the MTV Multiplayer Report. So, yes.
Yeah.
That shit was funny as hell, but it's really fucked up to kind of, quote-unquote, glorify it by showing it as a video on a very public and popular website.
Right. It's kind of funny. It was all about this customer who came in the other day and basically walked in, talked about how you can give a stripper $250 and you get 3 lap dances, and then he walked out. Like, wow. that was the only thing he did. Like, maybe there was some other guy and like he stole something while we weren't looking because we were so distracted by that story. But that's all he did. He just walked in. He was like, you know, give the stripper $250. Like, the first dance is okay, the second dance is alright, but oh my god, the third one. And then he walked out.
But oh my god, the third
one. Pouch.
All right.
Where's my pouch?
See you later. Oh, look. Big gulps. Well, see you later. No, the funny thing, though, is that in watching this video, like listening to the description, it's just like, this was part of the game. You know, they shouldn't glorify it because it's about more than that, and they're just setting a bad, you know, image for the game that doesn't need to be there. This is something that players themselves do. And it's not something that Rockstar's trying to promote. Necessarily, well, at least obviously.
Yeah.
Then I watched the video, and it's like the funniest thing I've ever seen. I'm just like, I don't give a shit. I actually wish they kept it up, because this is really funny. Because it's like, because first of all, it's Grand Theft Auto. You know, despite the fact that it looks more realistic and everything, it still looks fake, and it still looks retarded, and it still looks funny.
Right.
So I'm looking at I'm not excusing that, but just me personally, I'm looking at this going like, this is great. You know, I hope they post it up. I hope they sneakily post it up again just for the fuck of it to see what people say, because this is really hilarious. You know, now if they did this with, like, real realistic looking things and like, it was, I don't know, it shouldn't make a difference, and I agree with you guys that it's, you know, kind of sick, but just watching that thing looks so stupid and fake. I was tempted to just watch it again, but then I was like, I have better things to do with my day. So,
yeah, I haven't watched it, but I probably would find it humorous.
And make sure you listen to it, because the things that are said are really funny sometimes. Like when Nico is shooting the prostitute, and what does he say? He says, "Don't move, or else I'll."
He's like, "Stay down." Before I make sure you stay down, or something like that.
And she's like already on the ground, continually getting shot, and it's just like, "Stay down."
Oh, we're gonna hear about something about this from the Sex Workers of the United States. Or whatever the hell that was called.
Yeah, I want to hear something from Sex. Wait, never mind.
All right, that's it for our GTA stuff. We did have one last one, but Al already read it, so we're good on that front.
Oh, no, the Mad one.
Oh, this one, too. This is about GTA 4, too. Okay. Mothers against drug driving. Drunk driving. Demands AO rating for Grand Theft Auto 4. Mothers Against Drunk Drivers released a statement today saying that they demand the Entertainment Software Ratings Board reclassify Grand Theft Auto 4 as an adult-only game because it includes a mission in which, quote, players have to drive drunk.
Mothers Against Drunk Driving. Wasn't that a name for, like, something in South Park? Wasn't that in the movie or something? Mothers
I don't know, but I remember
Canada or something.
I remember there was a Penny Arcade comic that that they had an organization called MAVAV, which is Mothers Against Violence and Video Games, but it was totally fake. Like, they totally made it up for the comic. But right. let's see what these mothers had to say.
Each year, nearly 13,500 people die in drunk driving crashes, and another 500,000 are injured in alcohol-related traffic crashes. This is why
MAD
is extremely disappointed by the decision of the manufacturers of the game
Grand Theft Auto 4
to include a game module in which players have to drive drunk. Drunk driving is not a game, and it is not a joke. Drunk driving is a choice of violent crime and is also 100% preventable.
MAD
is calling the
Entertainment Software Ratings Board
to reclassify
Grand Theft Auto 4
as an adults-only game, a step up from the current rating of mature, and for the manufacturer to consider a stop in distribution, if not out of responsibility to society, then out of respect for the millions of victims survivors of drunk driving.
Thanks, Mom.
Now, what about what really happens in the game?
That doesn't sound like my mom.
Now, here we go. While there is a mission that involves going out drinking and ends with a player intoxicated, it doesn't require the player to drive. And in fact, on at least one playthrough suggests that the player isn't in any condition to drive drunk and should take one of the readily available Darksters instead. If a player decides to drive away, then drive away anyway, they learn how hard and dangerous it is to drive while intoxicated. I've contacted the organization to point this out to them and seek comment, but have not heard back. I'll make sure to update this post if and when we do, and I bet that he's never going to be able to update the post because they're stupid.
Yeah.
Unless they updated the post already and I'm a jackass.
No, they wouldn't, you wouldn't have seen it.
Yeah.
Nope.
All I'll say is this. When I reviewed Orcs and Elves for GameSpot for the DS, mm-hmm. you could get drunk in that shit. It was rated T. Ain't saying nothing. You could get drunk and wield weapons. Isn't that bad enough, getting drunk and swinging a battle axe around? Why aren't mothers against battle axes
I find it funny that, like, I swear, organizations just must sit around and pick at stuff and then realize, oh, okay, Grand Theft Auto 4, you can kill prostitutes, but people are already talking about that. So let's pick on something.
Let's find something else.
It.
Yeah.
Drunk driving. What else would they? Why else would they pick like drunk driving over, you know, like killing people and stuff?
Well, I don't know. Drunk driving apparently was started by some woman whose son died in a car accident related to drunk driving. But there's no such organization as MADSF, Mothers Against Drunken Sword Fighting.
Oh, but there should be.
But if there was, then there'd be a furor over Orcs and Elves too.
Yeah.
It
was rated T for teen.
Right, because that means our kids would have access to these games that teach them how to sword fight drunk. And then they're going to come home and they're going to pull out the knives and they're going to buy swords online and fight with them after drinking a fifth of
vodka. I'm pretty sure rating a game M for mature would be the lamest thing for alcohol. It'd be like, you can drink alcohol in a game. And you can only do that when you're 21, so I'm rating.
Yeah. I gotta say, for the review and the good and the bad, for the good I put, you can get drunk and you get stronger and less accurate, just like in real life. Uh-oh, that's a sim. It's a drunk sim. Somebody get the cops. Ooh, no.
I was gonna say The Sims, but I was like, well, never mind. So.
I don't know, actually. I never tolerated that game long enough to find out. You can get drunk in Deus Ex.
That's motherfucking ASX.
You can get drunk in... You could probably get drunk in Oblivion, right? You could definitely get drunk in Oblivion.
Yeah.
And ride a horse. Oh, no.
Mothers Against drunk horse riding.
Horseback.
Mad to Herber. Mad to Herber.
Freaking out. Mad Herber.
Oh, boy.
You're, like, riding in a town, and the horse just going crazy and neighing all over the place.
Richard Nixon... Well, here's some more about Grand Theft Auto. Aerosmith is it? Oops, no more Grand Theft Auto. Aerosmith is exclusive to Guitar Hero. Al, why don't you read this one, Mr. Guitar Boy?
Sure. I labeled this Aerosmith Soul. Yeah, I can't speak today for some
English.
Reason. Aerosmith Soul sold to Activision.
Sold to Activision.
Newsweek this morning is reporting that Aerosmith and their music will be a Guitar Hero exclusive for an unspecified period of time. Activision CEO
and
Bobby Kotick first hinted that the band would be proprietary to our format, proprietary to our format, at last month's Morgan Stanley Technology Conference. It's an exclusive deal for this game, Aerosmith publicist Marcy Rondon told Harris. Woo! We confirmed this with Tim Riley. Sounds like, what the other guy? Whatever. Activision's Vice President of Music Affairs, who told us that Activision PR, who told us through Activision PR that I can say that we do have the band exclusively, and their catalog should be exclusive to us beyond the one or two tracks they had licensed out to that other game before we made our deal. He said Rock Band.
He just replaced Rock Band with that other game.
Yeah.
That voice should get along with Austin's voice.
According to MTV's rhythm game Track Finder, it's one song, Train Kept Rollin'. Now, it doesn't really matter because there isn't really much to Aerosmith that, I mean, technically it would be better for people who want to sing that Steven Tyler for it to be in Rock Band. You know, the guitar is, but you want to fucking scream like that ugly-ass motherfucker Steve Tyler.
Yes.
Who's a really cool guy, I think. I never met him, but he ugly.
And has a daughter who acts really poorly.
Yeah, but she pretty.
And poor. Act.
Pretty poor.
And pretty.
Acting poor.
And
acting
pretty.
Poor. Yes.
And
okay.
Pretty. Anyway.
How much I care about this title.
I am buying that shit.
Who's getting Aerosmith Guitar Hero, whatever?
Not
me.
That's not a sound a buzzer makes.
It sounded like a fucking like colony of ants.
The ants are angry with this title.
Here we go. Here's our last news piece of the day from Satoru Iwata, president of Nintendo. Let's see, who is this Kotaku article by? It is by Michael McApostrophe. Iwata answers more Wii storage software public display. Gamers frustrated with the lack of storage on Wii may have a glimmer of hope if we're reading Nintendo boss Satoru Iwata right. He endured the usual end-of-quarter question barrage from the financial community recently, revealing many a hint about the company's plan for the Wii and Nintendo DS. When asked by a storage capacity frustrated party about the Wii's meager internal memory, half a gig shit, Iwata admitted that fans may have a right to... May? Like, fuck you. Of course we have a right. Iwata admitted that fans do definitely, without question, have a right to complain.
That's quote, totally what it says.
Because this small number of people are none other than most avid players, we know we have to review the best possible solution to eliminate their inconvenience. USB hard drive support? That'd be nice. For more details from Iwata's Q&A, hit the jump. With little in the way of announced titles from Nintendo themselves on the horizon. Iwata addressed concerns that the software, well, was dry. In short, expect Nintendo to keep its cards even closer to its chest when it releases stuff like Mario Baseball.
Can I just
and other
say that
Mario
that picture
games.
Of Iwata looks terribly creepy?
Yeah, because they gave him red eyes.
Yes.
Of course, we are preparing for a variety of software for the latter half of this year. However, we are now feeling that the speed at which new information consumed and may obsolete is quicker than ever. When I think of today's situation... Okay, I sound like Kermit somewhat. I can't do a lot of
sounds like this guy my
time. Okay, so he's basically saying he doesn't want to basically do the whole preview 8 months in advance rigmarole. The whole
people
thing
will get tired of it.
Yeah, and I can understand that. They actually were talking about this on One Up Yours, about the whole preview cycle and how it hypes up a game, and that by the time the game comes out, people stop caring because they're already on to Call of Duty 5, and they're hyping that and shit. Mm-hmm. And so they were saying that Mario's the baseball game for Wii, for the Mario baseball game for Wii, is probably going to launch in like 3 months. And they haven't even released any commercials, any advertisements, any previews. They invited people over to play it, and like a lot of the stuff was finished. They had kept this under wraps. They could have announced this like in November.
Mm-hmm.
But like they were like, oh, Mario Baseball has this, and now we played this beta, and now we played that beta, and blah da 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 da. And like now they're launching in 3 months. We're like, we're done, we're good, you know.
It's kind of surprising because
Nintendo DS.
Oh, jeez, when the Wii came out, we were like, okay, it's gonna be like 6 months until we start seeing on shelves, and then from there we were like, okay, it'll be like another 6 months until we start seeing. Okay, it'll be another 6 months, and like over and over. But finally, I think they're starting to. It's starting
you got any
to cool
Wiis?
Down a little bit because. At my store, we've been getting a shipment, I believe it's like maybe once or twice a week, and we usually have them in stock probably about half the time, which is a lot better than what we could say, you know, probably like a month ago, which was we would get them in and then they would be sold out within the same morning. So
right. Well, I think this is a slightly different case of, you know, not having Wii's in stock as opposed to when are we going to start to disclose our new titles to the public. We want to avoid, like, you know, we want to avoid the saturation of information where people get sick of reading every preview about this game as opposed to, like, shirking their Wii supply duties, you know? So I think, and like, I kind of, in this sense, I kind of agree with that. I don't agree with the shortage of supply, but, you know, in this sense, I kind of agree with that. It's like, you know what, people are hyping Too Human for how long, you know? So it's kind of like, all right, you know what? Are you going to release this game? Are you? May? Okay, May 08. Oh, May 08's here. Are you going to release it? No? Okay. So August 08? Okay. So you're going to keep on talking about it until August. Just give me the goddamn game. You know, stop talking and start working on it. Oh, one console future. Work on the game. You know, so it's like... Let's see.
Randomly thrown in there.
On the DS front, on the DS front, Iwata hints that we can expect more public spaces functionality from the handheld, also indicating that Nintendo has plans to generate some cash from said functions. At the same time, we think it necessary to increase number of places where you can feel it more advantageous to bring DS with Nintendo DS with you. This is a concept behind our idea of using DS in public spaces. Of course, we're not forgetting to consider it from a revenue source perspective, and they may be blah, blah, blah. So basically, stop making Phantom Hourglass games where you have to scream into the DS and look like a douchebag on the subway. Yeah. Not that that's me, because I don't have the game.
And Iwata, why do you sound like Kermit?
I don't know, but every press conference he has, I have to laugh at his, Nintendo Wii. Nintendo maybe, DS.
Might be a Kermit / Ricky Ricardo kind of deal there. I don't know. God.
That's it for the news. Anywhere comments before we move on to my gripe with discs?
I have to go out in an hour, so...
So it'll be a little quick segment on stupidity in stores. So I walked into the GameStop on 33rd Street and Broadway. That is right across the Manhattan Mall. This is in Manhattan, obviously, because it's across from the Manhattan Mall in New York City. And people may or may not have seen my story on my blog or my non-GameSpot blog, which has many more curses in it and swear words and, ooh, so bad imagery. But
it's M-rated.
Yeah. I basically decided to use a gift card that I had to pick up Mario Galaxy after all this time. And because I'm a miser and I got completely dinged on my taxes, I'm like, I'm going to save as much money as possible and make my gift card go as long as it can. So I'm going to pick this up used because I'm an EB Edge card and I could take 10% off the price. So basically I get off with it without tax. All right. Yeah. So I get the used disc, and as I'm walking out the store, I check the disc for scratches, as I usually do. And I notice that it has what's called a tangential scratch. Basically... for anybody who's trying to visualize it, instead of the usual nicks and cuts that you kind of get, like the normal, the
okay.
more, what the, did something fall over?
Did you get punched
in the face, man?
I just heard,
I was
going
to say, don't play with the knife. Yeah, that's about it. Sorry about that. You're probably going to have to edit that out.
Shit is falling on your face.
I basically, like, dropped the knife I was playing with, and I went to catch it, and, like, I just smacked my microphone.
You dropped anyway. A knife you were playing with?
Yes.
A knife. A knife.
Not like a tripod.
Shit out of your microphone.
I'm a dangerous guy.
Just missing your nose.
But, yes. Anyway, keep going. Sorry.
Yeah. So if you look at the scratches on a disc, usually they're little straight lines and scuff marks and all that stuff, and it's like, you know, things that might make you a little paranoid, but they're whatever. The kind of scratch that I saw was actually a curve along the spiral of the disc. All right. So basically, that is like the worst kind of scratch that you can get, because how does the laser in a CD drive read a disc? It shoots a laser onto the disc as it's spinning in a circle.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, it's picking up a large arc of information on the disc. When you get a scratch that is in an arc on that section of the disc, when the laser tries to read that, it's going to see a big scratch and little information. And it's going to go, oh, shit, you're a douchebag. You don't take care of your shit. I'm not going to read your information for you. Bye. Whereas with a normal scratch, you know, the one that kind of goes up and down, like, you know, on the radius of the disc, it sees a little blip, and it's like, okay, well, I'll adjust to kind of correct for it. So I'm like, I go up to the guy. I'm like, sorry to trouble you. You know, I just, you know, 2 seconds ago I was at this register. This was a different guy that served me than the guy that actually, you know, I was talking with. So I was like, all right, so, you know, sorry to be a bother. I was over at that register before. I got this Mario Galaxy disc, and I know you have a bunch. I was hoping that I could trade it, you know, just exchange it for another one before I left, only because it's got, you know, this curved scratch around the perimeter. And it's, you know, usually the worst kind of scratch you can get, so I don't want to take a risk. So the guy takes a look at it, puts it under the light and, like, tilts it and, you know, just makes it look like he's inspecting it like a jeweler. And he's just like – and then instead of, like, asking anything further or offering an explanation, he says, it'll be fine, and puts it right back in the box and hands the box to me. And I don't take it. I'm like, what? Like, I don't take the box. I'm like, no. I am not going to take this back. I would really appreciate getting, you know, a disc without that kind of scratch because it's the worst kind. And he's like, dude, it's going to be fine. I've had many discs that have scratches in it, and they play fine. I'm like, that's good for you. I would like a better disc, please.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I would understand if the scratch went around the whole disc, but I'm like, it doesn't matter. I've had a friend who had a Dreamcast disc before Marvel vs. Capcom 2. His roommate messed it up. The same exact kind of scratch. It was even smaller. The disc was gone forever. It was broken. It never worked. Wait. Did you say Dreamcast disc? I'm like, yeah. He's like, okay, you know what? Dreamcast and Wii, they read their discs completely differently. They process their games completely differently. I'm like, that doesn't matter. That's not the way it works.
It's like, wow.
It's like, you're telling me that if I, that a Blu-ray player reads a disc differently than a CD player. It's a laser that comes from an eye that hits the disc that spins around in a circle. No matter what other kind of strange little differences happen in there, it is the same basic mechanics. Unless you're talking about something like some weird alien magnet ray that, like, you know, steps down on the disc and it doesn't spin. No, it works the same way. And, like, it would take way too much to explain to him because I can see already that he's, like, not – he probably hasn't even graduated from, like, nursery school. So I'm like, all right, you know what? Just please, I would just rather not go through the trouble of going home, playing it, finding out halfway that the game is broken, and then come back and then have you tell me that it's past a 7-day use game warranty. So, you know, I think you should check it.
It's so past he goes, that at that point, but yeah, keep going.
And so he goes to his manager. He's just like, all right, this, you know what, let me see your receipt. All right, this guy, he's saying that there's scratches on it, and he's saying it's going to, as if he's accusing me of lying. He's like, if he's saying it's not going to work, I don't know. You know, he's saying that he wants to exchange it. I don't know what you want to do about this. And he's just like, get another box and change the game.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh. And so he takes the box, it's empty. So then he's like, okay, well, if it's not in the box, go into the drawer. And then he, like, opens the drawer. You know the drawer of used games is filled with all these games.
Yeah, so that's where we keep all your used games.
Yeah, it's a hassle to look through the drawer. So he's going through the drawer, like, just kind of, like, making this sour face of flipping the games, okay, blah, 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 blah. Okay, here's one. And he gives me, like, a pristine disc, so it's worth all the trouble. And I'm just like, first of all, if I ask for a cleaner disc, I should get a cleaner disc.
Yeah.
If I ask, if I cook you a steak that you asked was rare, and I did it well done, I'm cooking you another steak.
First of all, unless they're poorly organized, the drawers behind them are alphabetically, like, you know, placed. So it is not hard to find what you want. It is a matter of
inserting a key. No. He did it fine. He was just pouting.
Okay, right. Like, boom.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. You should probably read my comment because I totally forgot what I said, but I know it basically, you know, said what I felt. It's just so...
Yeah, some of them are shit, some of them aren't.
Yeah, I mean, these are the guys that make me feel bad for what I do.
Yeah, but the other part to this is not only that was he so, like, reluctant to help me, it was just, like, he was, like, trying to pass off some bullshit information.
Yeah, I know.
He thought that I was an idiot. He was like, oh, yeah, these read the game. I'm like, I was so tempted to just be like, I'm about to be 27, I graduated from high school. I graduated from college. I took plenty of physics courses in high school and college. I took plenty of computer science courses. I know how this shit works. You don't. Fuck you. Give me my shit. Register biscuit. But I didn't want to be like, I didn't want to like be demeaning and shit, and I didn't want to be like, oh yeah, I have degrees. I have a dual degree in this and that, and you don't. You know, that's
I graduated from Harvard.
You're fine.
Harvard. So I was just like, I was just like, look, just do it, because I don't want to explain to him what he didn't know and couldn't understand and didn't want to understand.
Gotcha.
But like, yeah, it totally makes people like you look bad, because there are guys in the GameStop that are near to my house.
Mm-hmm.
They're like one or two guys that are completely like really cool. Like they're totally awesome. They're mandated to give me the would you like to pre-order said game because they have to. Like they always give me the. I'm sorry face. They always give me the I'm sorry, I know you're going to say no, but I have to ask anyway face. So they know what's coming when they ask me about pre-order. So they're just like, dude, just forget about it. Mm-hmm. Let's see, your comment is... Should have come to my store. I would have given you a different disc on the spot instead of arguing over whether or not it works. Usually anything involving the Ring of Death, with the exception of lower-valued refurb trade-ins, we don't accept and we'll throw in the, oh my god, don't sell, please, thanks box, even if we accidentally do. Last week, we went out of our way and tested a few games we were selling to a customer who was concerned about the condition. With that, some of us do care and try our best. It's a shame that along with any other sales place, you'll get unwanted workers. Don't blame me for getting pissed. I, as an employee, try to make sure you get what you want and not bully off his terrible excuses. Did you get that screen door fixed? No, I have not.
Damn.
Actually, I got it half-ass fixed, and it's good enough until I can get another person to climb up on the ladder. But yeah, guys like that make people like look like idiots. I remember one of my other friends, because she also lives in Manhattan, she goes to that GameStop. She always tells me that, like, they give her attitude, and then, like, when she asks for a game, they look at it, and they're just like, are you sure you want that game? Ugh, okay, fine.
Right.
And it's just kind of like, what the fuck is your problem?
When we accept trade-ins, we don't test the game or anything, because, well, that would take forever to hook up a new system each time, etc. We just inspect the condition of the disc. They shouldn't have that disc in their inventory at all.
Right.
With that kind of condition, with that, the way we test the condition is it's kind of like an eye test. If we notice a scratch and we're concerned about it, we run our fingernail like along it
and see how deep it is.
Kind of treads, you know, if it gets like stuttered by it,
right?
Then we're not going to accept it.
Right.
So first of all, that
you guys are taking the risk.
Yeah, and if it does have a scratch and we say we won't accept this, but however, we will do a refurb trade-in, then we can still accept it, but it's as a refurb trade-in, and you're going to get, you know, shit for it, basically.
I see, okay.
And
so then you have to get it, send it back to get fixed or something?
Basically, yeah. And what will happen from there? I mean, not only that, but when he sold the game to you, he should... Double check.
He should have checked it. Yeah, I noticed that the guy who put the game in the thing
probably didn't check.
Yeah, he just slapped it in there. And
yeah,
I mean,
just like, it's probably he was doing something or whatever. He not doing his job.
The other thing was that it was during the big like people were lined up for Grand Theft Auto, so he probably felt rushed. But I would search.
What? You're not here for Grand Theft Auto?
I took a cab here.
Super Mario Galaxy. Can you steal cars in that game?
Not only that. But, like, the third strike is that when you came back and he checked the disc again, he tried to hand it back to you. It's not, you don't fucking do that. You don't, like, if you work in fast food or something and you serve a sandwich that's not cooked.
Hand over your tray, they hand it right back.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, and you take a bite of that sandwich and you're like, and you spit it out. And you're like, wow, that shit ain't cooked. Here, just take it back. It'll be fine.
And then they look at it, they lift the bar, and they put it back.
Enjoy your food poisoning.
It's done, man. It's done. Eat it.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, what the hell is that store in general thinking?
You know, but, I don't know. I'm halfway tempted to, the next time I go in there, try to see if I can spot the guy and then take down his name. Like, kind of sneakily just take down his name and then call him out on the podcast. Just be like, yo, all right, so this dude.
Actually, you can go ahead and do that. If you still have the receipt, it'll be on the receipt and his...
No, it was a different guy.
It was a different cashier who actually gave me the game.
I'll have
to figure it out.
Okay. You could probably give a store ID and give an identification On the receipt, there should be a store ID, or you can look it up on their on the store locator for the website. You get the number for the ID. Just call in corporate and call in or whatever.
Yeah, I just feel like... Wraps. Huh?
I said, wait, keep that under wraps. off the record.
Why? I'm going to expose this fucker.
Oh, no, no, no. I meant all those secret practices of locating GameStop employees.
Ah, yes. Yes. You want me to edit that out?
I don't know. Up to you.
About what?
About looking up who the employee is.
No.
That's right. Like, I don't give a shit.
No, that dick is why people, like, I feel bad about myself when I'm reading comments about any GameStop store, and they're like, fuck GameStop, blah, 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 you know? And fuck those guys.
But, yeah, I mean, I just hope that the problem is that the people who end up knowing most about these games and, like, mm-hmm. and how to market and how to sell them, not how to sell them, but, like, people like you, for example, you're mm-hmm. probably going to go off and start, you know, writing for sites or doing something or doing something else with games if you wanted to. Mm-hmm. So you won't be stuck at the GameSpot. You won't be stuck at the EB Games or GameStop.
Charlie then,
yeah, so it's like it's kind of like that thing where the people best suited for a certain job are not going to be at that job because they're best suited for something else. Like Alf, you, for example. Like, you know a lot about, you know, what your tech support for the cable company.
Mm-hmm.
Chances are, you know, you're going to move up and be on, like, an admin position instead mm-hmm. of staying at the tech support position, right? So
not really, but keep going.
Okay, well, you see where I'm going.
Yeah. Wait, admin as in what?
That doesn't matter. That's not the point.
Okay.
The point is someone with enough knowledge to do their, for example, a customer support job right for, let's say, a cable company like yourself. They know networking really well. They know all this stuff really well, so they can advise their customer versus the person who reads off of a script.
Oh, there's plenty of those.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then the person who knows about networking, more likely than not, despite what you might think, if you try hard enough, more likely than not will, at some point, find their way into a job that better uses their skills as a network admin or as something at least not working in the same place as someone who reads off of a script.
Certainly, I completely agree with that.
Yeah, so the people who know enough about games to be able to inform their customers aren't going to be sticking at GameStops for very long.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're left with the people who read from the scripts. And mm-hmm. if the script says put game back in box when person tries to give you trouble, that's a fucked up script.
You know, the script is kind of written by whoever was teaching at the time. The way GameStop teaches isn't probably the best way. It's kind of like, go. And we'll adjust you as you go.
Hands-on? Yeah, hands-on
right.
training.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm still learning. I mean, all the stuff I'm saying, this is coming from a guy who's worked no more than 2 months.
Probably. Yeah. I've never seen that guy at that store either, so I just think he's a moron.
I don't know. It's like if I was the manager at the time, I would have pulled that guy aside and been like, you know, you're not doing things right now. You should have probably done it like this. Get it right next time.
Yeah, the manager kind of looked like Hank Hill's dad on King of the Hill. So I don't think he was doing anything. He was shorter than I am.
Awesome.
No, but I don't know. Like, I am really, like, tempted to just, like, kind of go get his name and, like, complain and be like, right out there, like, yo, this guy's a dickhead, and he's a mm-hmm. jackass, and he should be reprimanded with a ruler or maybe a yardstick by a nun.
By a nun. There's nothing.
But that's it for my sordid tale, dude. Do you have anything to say about the conglomerate that is EB GameStop?
I'd say this guy's dicks. Have fun.
That guy's dick, come to my store in Maryland.
Yeah.
I'll visit state lines if it means that I won't get someone who tells me that the Wii and the Dreamcast read discs differently. That's just absurd.
You know, I know this disc is scratched, but did you know about the Wii and the Dreamcast? Yeah.
God,
that's
so
good,
fucking stupid.
Yeah, let's not even go to my comment on your blog.
Let's see.
About Wii and Dreamcast.
Oh. Oh, yeah. I will go there since you mentioned it.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the Dreamcast disc holds, what, 1 gigabyte of data?
1 gigabyte.
And a Wii disc holds up to 9. So basically, a scratch, like in general, like a scratch on a CD or a Dreamcast disc versus a scratch on a Blu-ray disc or an HD DVD or even a DVD or a Wii disc.
Blu-ray and HD DVD. Yeah.
Any
gigs.
Scratch on a higher capacity disc because they're the same physical size. If the same scratch appeared on two discs, one a CD and one a Wii disc, the Wii disc is going to have a lot more problems.
Right, because there's more data to read.
Because there's more data squozed, which is a word that I made
squozed
up, but I will keep it up. You know, that'll be a worse scratch, so I don't know. Fuck him. He's an ass.
Yep.
Shall we move on to the one question we have from Rich Ball?
See.
Yeah, let's do that.
Copy. This game is skipping.
No, it's not. It's working fine. They process differently.
We are here at the mailbag. We only have one question. This is from Richard Ball. We did not answer this last week. We apologize. We were kind of unprepared for the audio question. But we're ready this week. And the question pertains to Grand Theft Auto's multiplayer and regarding, you know, the PlayStation Online's PlayStation Network kind of multiplayer not being as robust as, you know, 360 Online, and whether or not we think Rockstar will actually kind of own up and fix any potential problems with the multiplayer on the Sony side. So here is the question. Go!
What's up, Try Games crew? This is Richard from Jersey, and thought I'd send you another audio question here. As you know, by the time you play this, Grand Theft Auto 4 should be out by now, and just like everybody, I'm going to be picking up the game as well. Right now, I'm leaning towards getting the PS3 version for a couple of reasons. One, I really don't care about online achievements. Two, I really don't care about getting downloadable content. I don't really buy it that much. And three, this on a personal reference, I'm just more comfortable with using the 6S / DualShock 3. It's just more comfortable for me to use that controller than the 360 controller. But my question is going to be, my question for you guys is the online, as you know, is going to have multiplayer. And as we all know, playing third-party games on the PS3 is not that great of an experience, with a few exceptions being Call of Duty 4 with Infinity Ward, what Cartoon is doing with Burnout Paradise, and to a certain extent, what Epic's doing with Unreal Tournament 3. So I guess my question to you guys is, do you think Rockstar is going to follow those leads of those other third-party developers, and if they see something's not working right on the PlayStation 3, he's going to swoop down and fix it and actually pretend that, you know, PS3 users exist and not just look at the 360 users? Just want to know your guys' opinions on this. So, you know, as usual, like, love the podcast, yada, 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 XOXO, hugs and kisses, and yeah, awesome. Peace.
Okay, that was Richard Ball with his audio question. So, like you said, he's going to get the PS3 version because he prefers the D-pad, doesn't care about downloadable content, doesn't care about achievements, but he's scared about the multiplayer. Do you think Rockstar will come through after, you know, they fix the crashing, which is probably a bigger problem?
Yeah. Sony in general? Is that what the question's about? Like, Sony online multiplayer?
Well, Sony, but also, like, will Rockstar kind of step up and say, hey, guess what? Kind of like Burnout Paradise, how Criterion was like, you know what? We're going to make this awesome on both platforms. We're going to step up and make the effort to do this and not just be satisfied with using Xbox Live's built-in stuff.
Right.
We're gonna make sure that it's good for both platforms.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're releasing a multi-platform game with, you know, both consoles, in this case, both consoles having online multiplayer, I think your features for multiplayer shouldn't be integrated to any features that the consoles have. Mm. Like, I don't know, stuff with, like, Xbox Live, they shouldn't have stuff that, you know, certain things designated towards Xbox Live when it's being, you know, that you shouldn't be missing something that, you know, the 360 shouldn't have something that the PS3 doesn't have, and vice versa.
Right, unless it's like achievements, which is their copyrighted whatever.
Right.
To me, I was always worried about the population of PS3 online games because of, you know, I think Xbox Live is a much bigger thing at this point, despite you have to pay. But at the same time, you know, the PS3 is kind of free, so anybody can jump on and
not just
and
kind of free, all right. free.
Right. And I don't think the population's going to be a problem. Like, I figured when I was at my friend's house, actually, I was playing Call of Duty 4, I jumped online really quick to just get around it, and I was thinking, oh, I'll have to search for a little while or whatever. Nah, no problem. Full game.
Oh, okay. There are a lot of people on.
Yeah. So, I don't think there's going to be any problems with GTA 4 online. I mean, the only problem that I think the game does have is the crashing and a few other glitches.
Right.
Despite, I haven't owned the, none of us own the game, so...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would think that the that Rockstar put the same amount of effort into the 360 and PS3 versions of this game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much effort it actually is, but basically... It's all of the multiplayer is online only anyway, so I'm sure that they've done everything that they needed to do to make sure that everything is supported that's necessary. I don't know if PS3 has a headset type of thingy going on there.
Right. No, on top of that, they delayed it too, but that was for like the PS3 engine problems or having problems.
Right.
You know, the PS3's harder to develop for, so. If they finish that up early, they probably had, leftover time to concentrate on fine-tuning the online, which supposedly is amazingly fun. So, I don't think there's going to be any problem to answer the question.
I think the important thing that we need to know before, kind of answering this, well, for me at least, is what features are in the online. And I'm trying to look at the review. There's a GameSpot review from Justin Calvert, my sort of boss. Let's see.
Really, it's just kind of, here's 15 modes. You can have 16 people in a game. Mm-hmm. Go. It's nothing much else. So, I don't know. Especially free mode's a lot of fun. So, I really want to own the game and play it. And I want to stop talking about it because it makes it worse.
but there was something on...
I said, but let's keep going. I don't want to stop talking about it, despite it makes it worse for me.
Well, of course.
GTA 4. Go ahead.
They had a comparison on Kotaku between 360 and PS3, and I'm looking for that now. Just to see
if they
had
on the graphics or something.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
Yeah, most of the difference encompass the graphics and the hard drive install for the PS3 version. I think the multiplayer, like you said, it's just modes and a lobby, and so I don't think there's much room for error or for differentiation in how the multiplayer works, except for how you meet up with other players. And of course, because of Xbox Live, it makes it easier.
Right.
And I guess again, like you said, that's probably what Rich is worried about. And I don't know. I mean, how much has This is another thing. How much experience has Rockstar had with online?
Not much at all.
I mean, I'm trying to think. There's
San Andreas on PC. That was it, basically.
San Andreas on PC. So it's hard to say, really. So I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean,
when a customer did walk up and said, what version should I get? 360. I always said 360 version. Because of achievements, DLC, etc. But Rich doesn't care about that stuff.
Right, and he needs a better controller.
The only thing I said about the PS3 version, supposedly the wiggle waggle for the PS3 is terrible.
The six axis.
It's like god awful. Yes, supposedly. Anyway, allegedly. But the only other thing that PS3 had in comparison was faster load times, which in a game like GTA 4, there's not that many of, besides, cutscenes and stuff. I mean, you can practically, if you wanted to, you could run around in Liberty City for 3 hours without seeing a loading screen.
Right.
If you're just running around or doing whatever. If you're doing story stuff, then sure, you'll see one every now and then, but they're not going to be that long, I'd figure, on both consoles. So, I mean, it's just, small little cutscenes for the missions or stories or whatever.
Right. That's all. Those are the only differences mentioned. Nothing about the multiplayer. So I guess I would personally say that I will say this. Any multiplayer problems matchmaking problems that GTA 4 has will probably be put to the wayside while they figure out what the hell is causing it to crash.
Yeah.
And then, you know, maybe they'll try to figure it out. I mean, I don't know. I have confidence in Rockstar that they want to deliver a quality product, so they'll probably try whatever they can, including the multiplayer. But I wouldn't bank on it anytime soon. That's what I'd say.
Yeah. To be honest, I don't think they're ever going to fix it.
The crashing?
Look at Bully.
Yeah.
On the 360.
They fixed it, made it worse.
Yeah. It's like, we have a problem. Let's fix it. Oh, shit, I messed up.
Let's look at the Wii version with the 480p lagging graphics on HDTVs.
Yeah, what is with? I don't know. That was something why I couldn't get into Bully on the PS2 was because the FPS.
The frames. It was framey.
Yes, it was very
really.
Framey. And I don't know if that stuck around for the 360 version. Supposedly it did.
Wow.
Which kind of stinks.
Which yeah.
Just
that. Which
sucks.
If it did, then that's you know. That's a good deal.
Excuse me.
That's bad. Like that's not good.
I have to say that there's a free mode in multiplayer GTA. Free mode sounds like the best thing that they could have put in there, which is basically
everybody go around the city and just go crazy.
Yeah, and,
yeah. The guy who came in and talked about the lap dances, he came back in, or maybe I don't remember if he
to
left
steal
or
something
came
else.
Back or, no, yeah, he was talking about free mode and how like him and his friends were all fighting each other, and some people got into a SWAT car and was basically owning the city with it. And then eventually it got blown up, because in this game now you can, you know, everybody can jump into the car, or everybody can jump into a SWAT car, everybody can jump into the helicopter, or not everybody, like, it's limited, but, like, you can have friends help you out and shoot guns while you're driving.
That's freaking awesome.
Yeah, so, like, I think James was saying, I don't remember if it was James or Jim, a.k.a. Dende Atreus on GameSpot.
Hano.
They would jump into a helicopter and then have a couple friends jump in a helicopter and just, you know, do drive-bys on people with a helicopter. And eventually that one guy who came in talked about, what was it? And like him and his friends, it was basically all of them, like all 16 people versus the cops. Like an assload of cops just coming in and they're like.
Like an entire police force?
Right, so it was like 16 dudes versus all these cops.
That's crazy, man.
So,
man.
Bunch of fun. And that's only one of the modes.
I could probably just play that game in free mode. And that would be my $60 worth if I had people playing with.
It's like seeing how many knights you can kill in Oblivion for trying to arrest you.
You know?
Just go around and see how many you can...
Stop right there, criminal scum!
Slap, slap, slap. I heard they're notoriously hard to kill, though. any more comments, or shall we wrap it up so Slunks can go to the bowl?
There's one question. That one question that CJ Hope asked that I want to answer.
Oh, that
real
you
quick.
For you. That's right. I forgot. Let's see.
I know exactly what the question was. He asked how long I've been playing, and I started when I was 14. So I didn't start when I was around 10, Austin, but that was pretty close. I could have started when I was 5, but. Let's not go into that.
When did you start the violin? Were you on violin when you were 10?
Yeah, I was
on
violin when
I was 10.
Was that later?
Okay, that was okay.
Did you figure Matt played for longer, Ashuku?
Huh?
Did you figure that Matt, aka Ashuku, played for longer than you thought?
No.
No.
Didn't know at all, and I didn't make any measurements. But I knew that he was younger than me, so now I know how long he played. He played for about as long as I played, to when I was really good, and then I stopped training myself.
Right.
So basically, I started when I was 14, and then I played till basically I was about 19 to 20 straight, like every day type of stuff. It's because I was going to school. And then I started bands, and, you know, that was when I just used my existing skill. And now, 28 years old, I'm starting over again, like, day one, fucking practicing every day. And now I'm, like, really making it serious. So hopefully another 4 years, I'll be, like, the ultimate shit. I'll be making women, like, do all kinds of stuff with their bras and panties. Yeah, it'd be like
make it
musical
wet, make
magic.
It wet.
Throw, throw panties under on the stage. No, wait,
oh, wait, you're underage.
Yeah.
Under dry.
Bam.
Throw them shits back.
Throw it back. I don't want them shit. Put it back on. Wait, don't. The stage has herpes.
Oh.
Stage has herpes.
Run from the rash. Run.
Run for
it's
the hills.
Growing.
It's growing. I think we've hit the end of our stride. So housekeeping, remember to go to gameslaves.net to pick up their podcast, Game Slaves Radio. You can also get it on iTunes by searching for Game Slaves Radio. DrFishyPants.com. You spell out the word doctor. And you want to pimp your guitar blog?
Sure. XLM2K.blogspot.com. That's X as in Xavier.
L.
L
M as in Mary.
M as in Mark.
The number two.
The number two.
The letter K.
And the letter K
dot.
As in K, please, thanks. Dot blogspot.com.
Slash. Then you can hear him play guitar in his gym short underwear.
Not underwear.
I know it's not underwear. It's underwear.
Not underwear.
Slunks writes for TalkXbox.com, so be sure to flame him there because he's wrong and you're right because you're a reader and you're on the internet and you're anonymous and apparently all reviewers are wrong.
I got another
yes.
Plug.
Yes.
I got
you got
I gotta
a deposit poop, what?
Blog.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Guns. B-O-O-G as in George. U N as in Nancy. S dot blogspot.com.
Booguns.
That boy's got some talent.
Yeah, now that we've plugged you, you must listen to our podcast.
I wanna plug something.
Plug.
Oh, shit. 4chan.org.
I don't know. No way. All right, so that's it for the studying Tony, for Slonk.
Nobody's gonna break my stride.
For Pantipode.
What?
I've been your host, Uncle Old T, a.k.a. Ultros, a.k.a. Mr. Troupon, a.k.a. Final Fantasy VI, a.k.a. Austin, and this has been your... Banana phone!
Banana phone!
I've had it with these motherfucking snakes.
I love the fucking plane!
Fun with modulation, take 3.
I've had it with these motherfucking snakes.
I love the fucking plane.
I've had it with these motherfucking snakes.
I love the fucking plane.
I've had it with these motherfucking snakes.
I love the fucking plane.
Yeah.
Banana phone.
Banana phone.